No, he may have been a good Catholic at one time, but he was a complete cultural conformist.
Okay.
He sold out on everything. He was for abortion. He represented Charlestown, which is one, he was from Cambridge, but he represented one part of the city of Boston, Charlestown, and they came to him in 1974 when they had this awful court order on busing to achieve desegregation, which was destroying the school system in Boston and, exposing children to violence and all sorts of things. And he wouldn't help them. He supposedly he candidly told them, I'm one vote away from the speakership. And he was a careerist. And he himself would vote pro-life, but he would allow pro-abortion legislation to come up, and he would control the business of the House in such a way as to prevent a pro-life, say, the Human Life Amendment from being voted on by the House of Representatives. He was a complete faker as a Catholic, and he was another in a long dishonorable line of Catholic quislings in America.
You know, it really is it's a scandal, and it continues as a scandal today. I was tracing back the leadership in the House of Representatives, as I call it, Joe. And if we go from today, Nancy Pelosi, Catholic. John Boehner before that, Catholic. Paul Ryan before that, Catholic. Nancy Pelosi before before John Boehner, Catholic. Denny Hastert, I believe, Catholic. Go back, but there's a little bit of a swap in there between Tom DeLay and Robert Livingston, who was my congressman once upon a time. And then go back before then, from 1994 to 1999, Newt Gingrich, Catholic. Before that, Thomas.
Catholic, yeah.
He's a convert. Before that, yeah. Thomas P. Foley of Washington State, I believe, Catholic. Before him, Fort Worthless, Jim Wright, don't know. But then Thomas P. Tip O'Neill. So going back to 1970.
You got Kyle Albert in there too, but he's not a Catholic.
Okay.
It was Tip O'Neill, of course. And then before him, you had a very strong Catholic back in 1962 to 1971. You had John W. McCormick of South Boston, who was one of the most loyal Catholics ever to serve in public life in America. In fact, McCormick was such a loyal Catholic that when the first Catholic president was running for president and was president and was opposed to aid to parochial schools, John McCormick was in favor of aid to parochial schools, state aid to parochial schools. So it was he was willing to break with the first Catholic president on this issue. And McCormick, by the way, I should point out, was attacked for being pro-life in the 1950s, which was extraordinary. So it shows you what a decent guy that he was.
No, I was just going to say, this is anyone that says that the results of the Second Vatican Council and the revolutions that began, you know, however many centuries ago, but ultimately culminated in all of the things that have transpired since this, that have been let loose since the Second Vatican Council, you can also count as another casualty, not just the tens of, if not hundreds of millions that have fallen away from the faith in the United States and billions across the world, possibly. You can also count the tragedy of abortion. You know, you said one time, I'll never forget it, I quote you on the show often, that if it weren't for two Catholics, Ted Kennedy and Joe Biden, then we get Robert Bork on the Supreme Court and Planned Parenthood versus Casey goes the other way. This Holocaust has ended in 1993. And then we had the specter of all these Catholic speakers at the House, beginning with Thomas B. Tip O'Neill, who then, you know, could not bring themselves and were not held to account by their bishops, would not bring themselves to actually act Catholic in public life. It's just a scandal, Joe. It's an outrage.